Hi.
Hello.
Good to see you all. Open your Bibles if you would. John, the Gospel, chapter 21, starting at the first verse. And we'll go down through the 14th. John chapter 21, 1 through 14. And our topic today is going to be hope and encouragement from the Lord when we're in doubt or when we lack direction. It's a good one for me. I hope it helps you. John chapter 21, starting at the first verse. After these things, ought to raise a little question in your mind. What things, right? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias or Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples that we don't know who they are, seven of them out of the now 11. And Simon Peter saith to them, I go fishing. They saith unto him, We'll also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they therefore cast, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were about 200 cubits, about 300 feet or 100 yards, length of a football field. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. Father, bless your word, we pray. We stand amazed in the presence of the wonder of your lovely Son. And we just would pray that your spirit would take of your word recorded here in this lovely book and move this little recording of your heart and mind from these pages into our hearts and into our minds. Help us, Lord, to take it in, to take from it that which you have determined that we should have. Bless us with your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is kind of I'm sure you've been following it fastidiously, but over the last few times that I've been up here, we've been looking at this study of hope and encouragement from the Lord. We looked at the thought of hope and encouragement from the Lord when you're discouraged, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road after the Lord was crucified and their hopes and dreams had been dashed, I guess you could say. And we talked about the thought, a little video, that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The thought that no matter how difficult it is, remember the Lord's always there. And He's with us, and He knows what we're going through. And And he's there to encourage us in those discouraging times. And then we looked at when we're troubled, the disciples in the upper room. The Lord Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many dwelling places. If it wasn't so, I'd have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there you can go." And so the thought is, they didn't know what they were going to do. The Lord was going away. And what were they going to do? And again, the thought of the fact that the Lord is going to be with them. And he's going to be with you and me. Don't be troubled. He's there with us. And then we looked at the disciples on the sea, the foundering at sea. And the idea was hope and encouragement when you're overwhelmed. The ship was full up to the scuppers, right up to the edges of the boat. And they thought they were going to drown. And the Lord was asleep in it. And he not only says that he was asleep, but he was asleep on a pillow. I just think that's incredible. You know, he's in the midst of the turmoil. The Lord Jesus wasn't afraid. He wasn't worried about it. And he says, "Why are you, you know, where's your faith?" He said, I told you we're going to go to the other side, right? We're going to the other side. And you and I are too. No matter what the storms of life bring along in this world, we're going to the other side. It may come sooner or later. It may come by the shout and the trump, or it may come through the valley of the shadow. But in either case, we're going to the other side. And the Lord has promised to be with us either way, every step of the way. Hope and encouragement from the Lord. And then we looked in the Gospel of Matthew at when we're afraid. And again, the Lord told him to go to the other side, but this time he went up on the mountain to pray, and he said, you know, you're going to go across, but I'm going to join you later. And he did, in the middle of the night, walking on the water, and scared the dickens out of them. And there's times when you and I can be afraid. And don't worry, the Lord is in it all, right? He's there. Sometimes we don't recognize him, like the two on the Emmaus Road. The Lord said that their eyes were holden, or their eyes were taken hold of, and he controlled what they saw and recognized. Sometimes, you know, the Lord comes to us in the form of another believer, or in the form of a friend. Sometimes in the form of us going to see somebody, or a call, or a note that just encourages the heck out of somebody. But the Lord is always there. So, and whether we recognize his presence or recognize him or not, he's there. He's promised to be there. So these were different ways that the Lord brought hope and encouragement to us. Today we're going to look at the thought of hope and encouragement from the Lord when we're in doubt or when we lack direction. What should I do? You know, what way should I go? What does the Lord want me to do? Or what does he want me to do next? I think that's particularly applicable in my little world, anyway, in local church issues. You know, we want to see the church grow. We want to see souls saved. Well, what should we do? You know, we're talking about this idea of community outreach. I don't think you're ever wrong to, you know, try something. Try something new. We've never done that before. Well, give it a shot. You know, maybe when you go fishing, I'm a terrible fisherman. But this one thing I know, that when you do go fishing, you don't just go one place. You try a place, you get bites, you stay. If you don't get bites, you move on somewhere else. Try a little different place. Try a little different bait. Always moving and trying in order to catch fish. Well, I think the gospel is the same way. You try something, see if it works. If it works, do it a little more. If it doesn't work, well, move along a little bit. Try something else different. You know, don't be stuck in a rut. Hope and encouragement from the Lord when we're in doubt or when we lack direction. Here in this passage, each of these passages I've had a lot of fun with. I think they're just neat passages. Notice it starts out with "after these things." You go back to verse 19 of the preceding chapter, We see then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. This is the day of Resurrection Sunday. And the disciples are in the upper room, hiding, locked away, and the Lord Jesus appears to them, but Thomas isn't there, right? I think of this often when, you know, we talk about meetings. That's why we don't call them services. We call them meetings because we're coming together to meet with the Lord, right? Here's a case where Thomas, and Thomas catches a lot of flack about this, but we don't know why he wasn't there. But the fact remains that the Lord showed himself there to them. This was a special thing on the resurrection day, and Thomas wasn't there. And he missed that. We need to be together. When the fellowship comes together, we need to be there. We're apt to miss out on something. There's all kinds of reasons. You know, I don't feel, we got a cough, we don't feel good, right? It's easier to stay home, right, than to come to meeting. If you're not contagious, be at the meeting, right? Adlai, our former elder's wife, had a horrible spinal injury, and she would come to meeting and lay on the back pew because it hurt her back so bad. But she was there. And I think it's been a challenge to me. Often, I don't feel like going, or I'm hurting or something. And I think of Adlai, and I think, well, you know, if Adlai can get there, I can get there. And just go. Well, that was the night of Resurrection Sunday. And then down in verse 26 is the following Sunday. They're in the upper room again. And the Lord Jesus appears to them again. And Thomas is there this time. And one of the little quirks of this that I think is great, you know, Thomas said, you know, if I can't stick my finger in the holes in his hands, and I can't stick my hand in the spear hole in his side, I'll not believe this is true. Well, how did the Lord know that? He wasn't there when Thomas said that. Right? He hears the things we say. He listens in on our conversations. And be careful what you converse about, because the Lord listens to us. I think it's amazing the importance of one man's statements to the Lord. I think, you know, well, he's busy listening to Scott. He won't listen to me. Well, he listens to all of us. So be careful what we say that we really that we really mean it. And the Lord confronts him with that. And Thomas says, no, I don't need to put my hands there. I believe. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. Well, anyway, and then we come to verse 1 of chapter 21 after these things, right? So this is probably the following week after this second Lord's Day. Sometime in that following week or thereabouts, we don't know exactly, but sometime after these things, and probably after them. Now the disciples are discussing what to do. We're back at the lake. The disciples are in doubt. They lack direction. What do we do now? The Lord isn't here. How do we proceed? Which way to go? What to do? Where would the Lord have us do what he wants us to do? It's like a little ship that's underway but lacks direction. A little ship that doesn't have a rudder. It's just sort of adrift. And that's where the disciples were at this point. And seven of them, of the now what is 11, come together. And what do? Well, we can always go back to what we did before. And so Peter says, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going fishing. That's what he knew, right? Peter's kind of trying to go back to his old life as a new person. And it doesn't work. You know, I don't know if you've tried that, but you can't, as a new creation, go back to that old life and be happy. You've probably heard the story, and I just think it's indicative of this. Ray Cummings, after he was saved, he went back to shoot pool at the bar where he always shot pool. And he came up to my office at the air station. He said, "Bob," he said, that place has changed. He said, "You know, it's dark in there, and it stinks. And, you know, they're up to no good in that place." Well, the place hadn't changed at all, right? But he's like Peter, trying to go back to fishing when he's a new creation. He was supposed to be fishing for men. He wanted to go back to fishing for fish. Trying to do the old life in the new person. The temptation that all of us can get prone to, right? Trying to live our lives without the Lord. Not waiting for the Lord's direction. Not waiting for the Lord's enablement or opening of doors or whatever you want to call that. I go fishing, he says, verse 3. Great Bible verse. Kathy just quoted it yesterday, I think. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is able or faithful, and with the temptation will also make a way of escape, make a way for you to withstand it. You're going to always have these temptations that want to draw us back into the world or back into the common things. And God will always make a way for us to stand up against that. We can't say, "I was overpowered, I couldn't help it." As a believer, we have the power living within us. Theoretically, we can live a sinless life. We don't, but theoretically we could if we could be totally committed to the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have that old nature warring against us. So it's a good little memory verse to commit to memory. Somebody tells you that they're a drunk or a drug addict or a homosexual or whatever, and they can't help it do these sins. Yes, you can. If you're saved, you have the power to withstand those temptations. So they said, "We'll go with you. We'll go too." And so the whole bunch goes back, and they went forth and entered into a little boat, a ship, and immediately, and that night, they caught nothing. If you're a fisherman, I don't know a lot about these things, but fish in South Louisiana, they do a lot of net fishing, and you net fish at night because the shrimps and the fish come up to the surface during the night. It's cool, and the light from the moon and the stars and so forth, and they put artificial lights out, and it draws the fish and shrimp and things to the surface, and they catch them in nets. In the daytime, the water heats up and the fish go deep, so you fish with lines in the daytime. Not with nets. And so here they fish all night, and they're fishing the way they're supposed to fish, and yet they caught nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5, another good memory verse for you. The Lord Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Right? They're in the boat, but the Lord's not in the boat. It's like the many ships versus the one ship, and the storm comes. You never hear about the many ships again because the Lord wasn't in them. It's important to have the Lord on board. They should have waited for the Lord's direction. They should have waited to see what the Lord wanted them to do. Not just back to the old life. And I think, you know, these are temptations that we all say. There's no temptation but such is common to man. Every person faces those temptations. But without Christ, you really can accomplish nothing of lasting value. Without me, you can do nothing, he says. John chapter 15, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 10:13, I write down, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation. John 15:5, I write, can't do, cannot do, can't do. In the morning, verse 4, notice it starts with but here. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Or in other words, have you caught anything? How'd you do without me? How did it go? How's that working out for you? Right? You doing it your way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how's that working out? This person this past week told me they're not going to do it what the Bible says. They're tired of that. They're going to do what they want to do. They've earned the right to do what they want to do. And I thought, how's that working out for you? It's not going to work out good, you know? Did you catch anything, he says? And they just say one word, right? No. There's can't do. Without me, you can do nothing. And he said to them, well, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. That's the wrong side, right? I've used this before. That's the steering board side, starboard side. The oar is hanging over the side that steers the boat. Cast the nets on that side. It gets caught on the steering board. You don't ever cast nets on that side. You cast it on the port side, the side that you put up against the pier. So he tells them to do it humanly the wrong way. And, you know, I don't know about you, but often when the Lord moves, he moves in ways that we couldn't orchestrate, just to let us know that it's not us, it's him. They've done it all night the right way. They're fishing at night, they're fishing with nets. They caught nothing. They did it the right. Now it's daytime. Nets shouldn't work because the fish have gone deep. The nets shouldn't work. And we're going to cast them on the wrong side of the boat, on the right-hand side. This shouldn't work. Well, they cast, therefore, verse 6, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Here's the next memory verse for you, Philippians 4:13. Can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's no temptation taken but such as common to man. God's faithful. Won't you be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you can stand against it. And without me, John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Great little memory verses when you're working with people who have these kinds of problems. They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to go. Their life is all messed up. And what do I do now? Well, what they really need is the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They get so many fish now doing it the wrong way, the world's wrong way of doing it, that they can't even pull the fish in. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, this John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. How did he know that? Right? They couldn't see his face. About a football field apart. I don't know. Maybe to the hedge over there. Maybe a little farther. And they can't see his face. But he knows it's the Lord. Why? Because the Lord always is out of step with the world, right? I mean, you know, you don't have to have entertainment programs. You don't have to have the thing of the world. I mean, you can draw a crowd with that, trained seals or spinning plates. I just read an article not long ago how young people are leaving the big churches in droves because they don't feel any personal attachment. It's too big. No personal attachment. Nobody knows me there. Nobody knows what's going on in my life. Well, sometimes people go to those churches for that reason. They don't want anybody to know what's going on in their life. And they can fit there and nobody knows. But at the same time, people want to feel a part of things. They want to feel loved and cared for and respected and all of that kind of thing. In a small body, everybody's important. Right? So we've just been watching a transformation of a young lady, and she came to Christ within the last maybe month or two, and amazing the difference in this young lady. And she just posted a post on Facebook that Joanne said, look at this. It was amazing. You could see God working in that life, which you never saw before at all. The Lord works out of step with the things of this world. And this is a great example of it. When you're in doubt or you lack direction, think of, you know, the old hack of what would Jesus do, but that's really true. Look for his guidance and his leading. Sometimes it comes, yesterday as we're going to get the ham, a phone call, and this recommendation out of the blue. Great idea. We'll give it a try. It may work, it may not work, but that, at least it's something to try. And it gives the Lord opportunity to work in our lives, in, with, and through our lives. Well, now they're in step with the Lord. Now they're doing what he's asked them to do. Now how's it going? Pretty good. Way more than they expected. It doesn't say that Peter expected to catch anything, although most fishermen do. But I'm sure they're disappointed now. They've done it right all night long and they've got nothing. And now this person tells them to do it all wrong. They do it wrong and it works out fantastic. And John looks at that and says, that's got to be the Lord, right? Only he would do that. That's got to be the Lord. Therefore, Peter, he takes his, he's been out there naked, just a bunch of guys fishing. They weren't as politically correct then as we are now. And he girts his fisherman's coat around him and jumps in the water and heads for the shore. Peter never was known for great thought before he did things. But I think you can see the enthusiasm of this guy, you know. I really like Peter because he's, for all of his flaws, he is wholehearted. He is just pedal to the metal with the Lord all the time. And so he cast himself into the sea. I don't think he could swim. That's just my theory, but I don't think he could swim. But he did anyway. And off he goes. And the other disciples then, they come in their little ships, and they're just about a football length away from the shore. And then as soon as they were come to land, they looked, and here's a fire of coals there, and fish already laid on it, and bread. I think that's just neat. The Lord doesn't need us for anything. He says he'll build his church. He'll build his church. We can have a part in it if we want, but he won't make us. And he doesn't need us. But he wants us to have a part in it. And so here, they get to shore. He's already got the fire going. He's already got the fish on the fire. He's already got bread. There's nothing lacking. He doesn't need a thing. But he says to them in verse 10, bring of the fish which you have now caught. He wants us to participate. You know, if he wanted, he could have every oak tree come up with Jesus saves already carved in the bark. Or every baby born could have a carved in their chest, you need Christ. I mean, you know, he doesn't need us for any of this, but he wants us to be witnesses for him. He wants us to have the joy of leading someone to Christ. He wants us to be verbal about our trusting in him. And he wants us to have part in this. Bring the fish that you've now caught. Simon Peter went up and they drew the nets to land full of fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, and yet was not the net broken. 153. Why did he? I've got over my desk that I can't get to. But anyway, over my desk I've got two little signs. One of them says, "What's the big idea?" And the other one says, "So what?" And the idea is, when you're studying this book and you read this little passage here, you say to yourself, what's the big idea here? Why did the Holy Spirit pick this little incident to record for you and me thousands of years later? Why did he pick that incident? I mean, if everything that the Lord did was recorded, the books couldn't hold it all. And yet, he picked this little incident to write down. So you should ask yourself, what's the big idea here? What did the Holy Spirit think was so important for to get across to us that he recorded this incident? And then, when you figure that out, ask yourself, so what? How does that apply to us in 2018 in Prattville or Millbrook, Alabama? So what? Well, my determination was that he wanted to bring us hope and encouragement when we're in a situation where we lack direction. What do we do? Which way to go? Should we wait? Should we go? And if we go back to the old way of living, there's not much fruit in that. But if we do it the Lord's way, wait on him, do as he tells us to do, whether it makes sense or not, right? There'll be fruit in that. And so what? Well, he could do it all on his own, but he wants us to have part in it. He wants to share the work that he has with us and let us contribute to what's going on. 153, much speculation over the number of fish. Why would he record that there was 153 fishes? I don't know. My theory is, 1983 survey, I don't know what it is right now, but 1983 survey, the last time I researched this, there were 154 nations in the world. Well, that would account for 153 nations plus Israel. Right? So he had fish already there, Israel, and there were 153 of the other nations in the net. I don't know. That's my speculation. Showing that the gospel would go forth to every nation, every tongue, every tribe. There will be no one who can say, I didn't have a chance, because the gospel will get to them one way or the other. I may have told you this. I can't keep track of where I tell stories, but T.R.S. Wilson, I struggled with this. What about the pygmy in Darkest Africa? You can't use pygmy because the Trogdons were already there, but people in Darkest Africa or wherever that have never heard the gospel. And Mr. Wilson, when he went to Angola, wanted to go to a place where there's never been a white man. They've never heard the gospel. He wanted to bring the gospel there. So he landed and he went all the way through the country to the far side of the country. They'd never seen a white man before. And he learned their language. And he converted it. And so he would say, and they'd say, Bunga Wunga. So paper equals Bunga Wunga. About this. And they'd say, Wapo. Okay, microphone equals Wapo. And he developed a correspondence language. This equals that. To the point where he could talk to them. And so when he got a certain level of that language developed, he asked them, do they believe that there's a God? Oh, yes, there's a God, they said. But God is angry with us, and he doesn't talk to us because he's angry. And they said, why are they angry? Well, years ago, the elders tell us that he sent his son to the forest in the form of a deer, and the hunters killed him. And God has been angry with us ever since. Now, that's pretty close to the gospel. And he said, all I had to do was explain that that's a based in true story, and that God sent his son to earth, and man killed him. But he's not angry with them because of that. He's angry with them because of their sin, and Jesus came to save them from their sin and explained that, and many of them got saved. And went to another village, and they said, oh, you believe like the tree man. And he said, tree man, yeah. And take me to the tree man. He took him outside of the camp, and there was a man sitting up in the top of a tree. And he asked him, did he believe in God? Oh, yes. He said, are you worshiping the tree God? Oh, no. He said, I'm worshiping the God who made the tree. That's pretty good. I think God wants us to participate in this great work that he's got for us. Now, we may not be able to do things that we think are great, but every little thing that you do, you never know. I mean, we give out hundreds of tracts in the park every year. We have no visibility of how many people get saved because of those tracts. I was at a workers' conference years ago, and a man told a story of a man who had a job in England putting together equipment to send to the U.S. And he was checking out this piece of equipment just before it was shipped. And a man came up to him. He was standing on the operator's platform. It's got this diamond-shaped metal decking. And a guy came up to him and gave him a gospel tract and talked to him about the gospel. And he said, I'll tell you what I think of that. And he threw it on the floor and stepped on it. Grounded into this diamond plate flooring, and it was damp and it stuck there. And the piece of equipment was shipped to the United States, and this man was in charge of receiving it, and he had to check it out when it came in. And he checked it out, and while he was there, he looked down, there's this piece of paper stuck on the floor, and he thought, well, that can't be there. So he picked it up, peeled it up off the diamond flooring, and looked at it and got intrigued, and he read it and he got saved. And after this man told this story, he said, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen when you give out a tract. And another worker in the back of the auditorium stood up and he said, that's a true story because I was that man. Got saved through that tract. Now, you just don't know what some little thing that we do, we may not see any fruit from it at all. But the Lord can bring fruit out of it. And it's important that we participate. And them doing it on their own came to nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And then Philippians 2:13 says that it's God who works in you, both to will, to give us the desire, and to do, give us the strength to carry it out, his good pleasure. All right? It's God who works in us to give us the want to and the do, the ability to do his good pleasure. And so they bring their fish to shore, and verse 12, Jesus says to them, come and dine, have a part in this. One of the great things of the New Testament church is it's not a spectator sport, right? Everybody in the New Testament church can do something for the Lord. It's not just we come and give so that we can pay the preacher to do his thing. We come and we get teaching, we get remembering, we get prayer, we participate in the things of the Lord. It's not a spectator sport. Nothing against other good Bible teaching denominations, but the New Testament church is how it's supposed to be, and it's way better. And I think the Lord invites people to come and dine. And when you come and dine, what happens? Everybody participates. Somebody cooks, somebody serves, somebody eats, and we all grow through the process of this dining. And that's the Lord's invitation to us to come and dine. And they knew it was the Lord. They hesitated to even ask, though it seemed far-fetched. They didn't dare ask because they knew it was the Lord. And now this is the third time, verse 14, that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So we had the first time back in 20, verse 19, and the second time back in verse 20, verse 26, and now here, the third time at the Sea of Galilee. Hope and encouragement from the Lord when we're discouraged, or when we're in doubt, or when we're lacking direction. Father, bless your word, we pray. Thank you for it. These little recordings, I don't know how you pick what to record. But through all of the things that are too many to for even the world to hold the books of, you pick these particular ones to record for us, for our encouragement, for our challenge, for our building up, for our direction, for the work that you're doing. We think we do work for you, but in reality, all of it is you working in us. So we give you thanks. We thank you for each other, for our time together today. We ask your blessing on the activities of the day. It's a special day with special activities planned. And Father, we just pray there probably will be unsaved people here this evening. Well, we know there will be, counting children. And we pray that the stories that are told, the singing that's done, the little message devotional that's done, just the warmth of Christian fellowship will strike a chord in hearts and minds and cause people to ask for the reason for the hope that lies within us, and that it'll draw people to yourself, we pray, through your Son. So we give you thanks and ask your blessing on everything that goes on for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.